This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 6th of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Aaron Shawnee Miller Weibo Green. Congratulations, Shawnee. First of all, you already congratulate your boy Stevie Gardner, right? Because that's how we do it. Stevie, congratulations again. Shawnee, it's your time. And in fact, while I teef your name, I'm going to give you my name. Your new name is Shawnee Chikchani Miller-Weibo, because I know what you do to them set. When you feel that hamstring twinge, and you pull up and you jog, all them other sets say, oh, look at that. Oh, she injured herself. Oh, I sad for her. That's a good thing, but I sad for her. And when you bust out in that 400, I mean, listen, I could be honest with you. I was about to call a red flag on you, Shawnee, because that gap was too large. The gap was just unnecessarily large. Yeah, technical foul, right, Mr. Stubbs? Good morning. Let me introduce to you right away my guest in studio today, Mr. Kyle Stubbs, who's returning from our last Culture Friday segment. And in the Zoom room, we have Mr. Ian Mora. Good morning, Mr. Mora. Anyway, I know that he is in there. I know everybody excited about Shawnee, so I bring y'all in early in case y'all had one. Congratulations to give her. But look here, she put the swing on them. They thought they could have jogged that out. See, Stevie put it on them too. You know, Stevie gone out there and say, look here, my uniform is in the wash. I just can wear. Yeah, this is what I mean. I was running the yard in this. They really thought they was going to run past him. Mm-mm. Absolutely.
That was good. Congratulations to Shawnee. She ran an excellent race this morning. Looked in top form. Like you said, she put one on them. Right? Everybody was questioning that 200 and that hamstring, but she came to life this morning.
Yeah, see, I know that trick. My mom, and that's how I could see it. I know it. My mommy's put that trick on me all the time. Right?
Yeah.
So you want mango? You want a piece of mango? So I don't feel like any mango. Just leave me a small piece of mango, right? And then when you turn around, half the mango gone. See, we
got now blood.
We know, Shawnee. Well, good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And today is, of course, Culture Friday. So if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You know, before we get going, I have a brief message for you from the Department of Inland Revenue. It is about the Employment Incentive Program. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's employment incentive program and can receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees. Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. The offer is valid until December 31st, 2021. And again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Just before we get started, I get a couple of good morning shout outs. First of all, I want to say good morning to the four-wheeler, license plate 1530. Look here, King Man. You want direct traffic? You want to pull out onto the road in front of people? That's fine. But to pull out on the road in front of people while you're responsible for a tour and pause to use your phone is not acceptable. See, you're not just riding your personal private four-wheeler upon the road. You are performing in a professional capacity, and you have a duty of care for those tourists that you're leading on that tour. The last thing you want to do is set a poor example for them on the Bahamian roads. You would hate for them to follow you doing that foolishness. But most of all, in case there is an accident, you would hate for them to use that to support any case, any petition, or, you know, any submission that there was gross negligence or recklessness involved or on behalf of the people running the tour. See, people don't just blow their horn at you because they're frustrated that you're doing foolishness in the road. They blow their horn at you because you're on the brink of destroying your own life and the lives of others, including the people who hold legal liability and responsibility for the company you're working for. See, I don't understand what happened. Y'all want remain, y'all want to be cheering your whole life so the rest of us could just turn 100 right away. It just become an old woman right away, having to see that every day. Also, to the vehicle that almost pushed us into the wall on Cumberland Street, good morning and thank you. To the cars parked on the sidewalk in front of Bay Street Medical, forcing the pedestrian to walk into the road in front of our car this morning, thank you. See, let me tell you why this is important. Well, because obviously lives are important, in case you all forgot. But there's a traffic fatality last night, it appears. Nassau Street and West Bay Street. And the article has the dreaded words in quotation marks, tourist. Headline says, tourist dies after being hit by white van. Now, I can be honest with you, it would be horrible if we pay more attention to this story because we think it is a tourist or because we think it is a white Bahamian or a white resident. I mean, it would be shameful if that is the impetus for us to pay more attention to traffic and to do our jobs collectively as both stakeholders, police, and participants, drivers, right? But because maybe it was a tourist, maybe we'll see some action, eh? Did you know when you go into headquarters, police, RBPF headquarters, there was a beautiful banner on the wall listing the police, them like their mandate, what they are set out to do. And number two on that list says every single police officer is a traffic officer. Now I know 3/4 of the people on the force don't believe that. Because they don't act like that. They don't act like traffic is their responsibility. But let me tell you what's happening. While those responsible for enforcement are derelict in their duty, thousands of Bahamians are forced to use the road, subject to terrorism, being terrorized by Bahamian drivers, and some of y'all in red plates too. We can have a show on that. Some of y'all in red plates too, and I encountered two of y'all in the last 2 days. We're talking about people's lives. We're talking about the foundation of the country. The movement, the efficient and effective movement of people, goods, and services. See, y'all don't want me to talk about plantation economics and plantation model economic systems and inequality and unfairness in current day economics, right? But there are some blatant inequalities we could see. And some of y'all really think that the rule of the road is the biggest vehicle wins. I notice from port to port, from Port of Ski to the container port, to the airport road, to the inner city, y'all drive as if we in a sci-fi movie, as if there are no laws. The truth is, you drive as if you're fully aware of the state of the judicial system. Let me repeat that. You drive as if you're fully aware of the state of the judicial system and how difficult it is to have matters move through the court at an effective and efficient speed. You understand why someone is just likely to say, hey, whatever, just give them a couple $100s or forget it and fix their own car because they need to get back on the road without any hassle so they could continue trying to live their life. You're just a bunch of bullies. That's what it is. You're just a bunch of bullies. I can be honest with you. While we got big man like Stephen Gardner out there representing the country, while we got big man like Karani James, I hope I pronounce his name properly, standing up and showing your boy Gardner a true support, right? Like we got big man them representing other man them in the country, and some of y'all man them out there embarrassing yourself and all other man. Now I know some of y'all can say, what about the women, Miss Green? We can talk about them one another. I'm talking about your big man who like to cut flick in the road, cut people off, push them into the wall. And then when they have the audacity to blow their horn at you, you like to cuss off woman in the road. You're some petty man them. Childish. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is we big enough, big man them. Congratulations, Stevie Gardner. Congratulations. You as a Bahamian, and we love you for it. And we love you for this thing you say, you know. It was beautiful. I am proud and fortunate to be representing such a great country. All right, I got three texts here, and then I'm going to bring in Mr. Mora. We talk about an exciting event coming up this Sunday. First text says, Ms. Green, let those responsible know the government machine for tilling soil needs a battery to help the farmers in tilling. Lord knows we need our food growing. How is it the farmers market don't cater to the Rastafarian and the Seventh-day Adventist community, not even open half a day on Sunday when we can shop at the market, or is it our money ain't good? So here is where the accommodation sits, because my brethren, Rasta Cohen, sits on the organizing board for the Gladstone Road Market. The market is open on Fridays to accommodate members of the Rastafarian faith, Seventh-day Adventist community, and all other people who hold a Sabbath on a Saturday, right, and can't come. So I'm going to have to get his number so I could share it with you, because you're obviously interested, and you should text, you should sit and coordinate with him. Another text, Aaron, a tourist was hit by a white van. I hope you meant to say van. Sad to say if it were... Oh, okay. Trust me, let's see what happens. There, I text, I get what you're saying. I'm not reading it on air, but I'm going to photocopy it. Great show as usual. Question, what will we do when the world find out our secret for our athletes running so fast is because our large consumption of Conk and Kalik beer combined? You supposed to tell me don't read this out loud, Dexter?
Yeah, that's the secret right there.
Great show as usual. I tell you every day about how bad we drive. Now they knock down a white man. Now the whole world know people in Nassau is drive bad. They knew a long time ago. Trust me, tourists talk. Anyway, let's get going. Mr. Mora, good morning. Arlington, is Mr. Mora... Yeah.
Sorry, I had muted for a while there while y'all was discussing those other matters. Morning. Sorry
morning.
About that.
I was hoping if you had something to a congratulatory word for Shawnee or Stevie, you could throw it in there, man.
Well, actually, I'd like to go one step further and say congratulations to all of our athletes. You know, in order to make it to the Olympics, you already a champion. And when you get a medal, that makes you a champion among champions. So, you know, Shawnee, Stephen Gardner, big up to them, man. But all of our other athletes also, you know, just to make it to Olympics, they are already champions.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Mora, there is another event being hosted by the Bahamas National Reparations Committee this Sunday. Please tell us about it.
Okay, so on Sunday at 5 p.m., there will be a virtual discussion with the elders of the Rastafari community on the topic of reparations. And this will be hosted by the Bahamas National Reparations Committee. Anyone who is interested could log on to either our Facebook page or our Instagram page and get access to the discussion. Now, while everyone is excited and talking about our successes, a lot of times people might not want to hear, oh, why do you got to bring that up again? Well, the whole idea of reparations is not just about, okay, begging someone for money. It is about saying there should be assistance for development. And so if in our underdeveloped state, we could produce this level of athletes, imagine if we got the reparations and even greater access, we would be getting even more medals. So this is not just about begging. This is about helping us to move to a higher level on the world stage, this whole idea of reparations. And not just in athleticism, but even in science, because we're talking about the transfer of technology. Mm-hmm. But on Sunday, we'll also be talking to the Rastafari community and elders who went through the struggles of the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, where their hair was cut, where there was a lot of persecution, but they still rose to the occasion, you know, unable to get jobs, unable to find places to stay outside of the normal community. These elders of ours was able to develop community, you know, as African people and as even as Bahamians to a certain extent, based on our colonial experience. We had to make a way out of no way. And what we're saying is, in order for us to reach the next level, we have to hold people who cause our disadvantages, and who benefited from those disadvantages. We have to hold them accountable. And a part of holding them accountable is the same level of excellence that Shawnee and Stephen and all of our other athletes perform at. But in order to do that, we have to have the necessary things in place in order for that to happen.
Absolutely. If I could give a quick sort of snapshot, right? When you have world-class athletes like Shawnee and Stevie and all the others that are performing at the Olympics, and you don't have world-class training facilities in-country, right? Then those athletes are forced to seek out those facilities and those spaces. But here's what happens. The people who are in those spaces with our world-class athletes are the ones that get to glean and garner, right? They are the ones that sort of get to participate in that environment with our athletes. And so those are the people that sort of get the best. They get the unspoken lessons. They get to absorb what they witness and experience in that space with the world-class athletes. But because our world-class athletes are not in the Bahamas training, then Bahamian athletes don't get to have that experience with Bahamian world-class athletes, right? And that's why we need some balancing of the scales, because even though we have these world-class athletes who have been able to perform from a sort of underprivileged foundation, even though we have them, we're still not able to glean or absorb or to take advantage of the best of them. The gold medal is one thing. It's for them. It makes us proud, you know, but the gold medal is for them. What about the young students, the young athletes? And like you say, Ian, even in science, the same thing with a lab facility and scientists, that process. But we're working on it and we're pushing forward.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is when success is just as much about institutions to facilitate it as it is about individual drive.
Yeah.
And so when we have these underdevelopment affects our ability to institutionalize it. You know, I saw someone on Facebook say the Bahamas is a 400-meter factory, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that really caught my mind, because with this idea of reparations, what we're talking about is the idea of being able to capitalize, to institutionalize, to be able to build factories and take the Bahamas and also the region to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like how you put that, right? That to build factories nice, yeah. and not in the traditional global industrial sense, right? Like you say, we must be pushing out 400 runners. So let's get this factory going so we could continue right. to push out these world-class athletes, with all due respect to mothers and motherhood and to the athletes themselves who are doing most of the birthing in their own career. All respect from one little pudgy, fluffy fatty dove sitting behind a mic pretending like I know about sports. But also, Ian, let's get the dates, and if you have any of the the information to link up with the discussion digitally.
Okay, no problem. So it's on August 8th, mm-hmm. which is this Sunday at 5 o'clock. And you can access it via Facebook. Mm-hmm. Or through Instagram, through the Bahamas National Reparations Committee page.
Okay.
And so that makes it accessible to everyone, some of the presenters. And this is why we must talk to these elders, you know, because they're calling it Rastafari Speaks Forged in Fire. What the Rastafari community represents is the ability of the Black and also Bahamian to rise to the occasion above the odds, or against the odds. Mm-hmm. So we have people like Ras James Roll, who is an entrepreneur, has his own business, mm-hmm. Proline Underground. We have Priest Rickman McKinney, who is the Royal Ambassador for the Ethiopia Africa Black International Congress, who is now contending for the upcoming election as an independent candidate. Then we have Japita, who is from the Nyabingi, and Empress Ronnie. We have to get that female in there to bring that balance of energy. Mm-hmm. And she is a fashion design. You know, she is designed even for our contestants in international pageants, you know. Mm-hmm. And so despite the resistance that the Rastafari community has gotten, we are still being able to rise to the occasion and present a form of excellence despite all of that. And so on Sunday, we're going to have this discussion with them to find out what their story is. Because believe it or not, and especially, let me take that back. There's so much negativity that we share about ourselves. What's wrong? What's happening? What's this? We can always harp on that. But in order to reach success, and in order to take success to a next level, what we have to do is really develop our strengths. You know? Mm-hmm. We have to focus on our strengths. And so this event on Sunday is about telling about the strengths of Bahamians who had the odds against them and how they were able to rise. Then we will take the discussion to what are the things that we could do to take to make this even greater, to replicate this success. How do we have more Empress Ronnies out there who can go on the world stage and present their works of art? How we can have more Priest Whitman McKinney's, who is not afraid to stand up against the system and represent the community. We need to have that kind of spirit out there in the Bahamas. More James Rose, men who were able to rise up sort of out of the ashes and develop themselves as respectable entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. These are the stories that we have to be telling more. These are the stories that our brothers and sisters in the prison, our brothers and sisters killing themselves, the young people who have lost their way. These are the stories that they need to hear. And these will lead to even more Olympic gold medals, even more successes, more recognition for the Bahamas on a world stage. We have to begin to do that. And as the Bahamas National Reparations Committee, we fully recognize that. And so we're beginning in this month to have the types of events that would initiate that sort of conversation, initiate that sort of contact. And so on Sunday, we're talking to the Rastafari community. Then on the following Sunday, because it's a series that we're going through, you had the chairperson, Dr. Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean, and past chairperson, Dr. Chris Curry, on yesterday, and they spoke about how emancipation, emancipation should not be just celebrated or acknowledged on that day. We should have a whole month of activities, and we didn't just wait for somebody else to do it. We decided to do it ourselves. So this week, we talked to the Rastafari community about the successes. Mm-hmm. Next week, we talked to the Vanguard, members of the Vanguard movement, about their successes. Another body that saw resistance but still was able to make some headway.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, we're also having a challenge for this month, where we're inviting people to go out to various historical sites. Take your family, take your children. You know, a lot of those places, you don't have to worry that much about COVID restrictions. The Water Tower, these are places that you can go. Pompeii Museum, or Pompeii Square. There's so many places that you can go, that you can experience the positives about who we are as Bahamians. There's such negativity out there. I mean, except for when we win championships and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We forget about it for a while. But our main narrative is the Bahamas is no good. And so we at the National Reparations Committee don't just look for external reparations. We're looking for the internal reparations. Because, you know, reparations is about repairing and healing. And in order for us to repair and heal, we have to be focused on reconnecting with those things that could facilitate our healing. And so we look forward to as many people participating in this discussion and these activities as possible. And to stay in tune, don't forget, you just log on. Most people are on Facebook. So you can just log on to our page and get more details. The younger people are on Instagram. You can log on to there and get more details and just participate. And by participating in activities like this, it makes us stronger. It makes us better as a people.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ian. So here's what I'd like to do. First of all, thank you so much. And especially after I put such a heavy word on Bahamian man today, just you inspired me to believe, not in the possibilities, but to believe in the men and the believe in the life right now, right? Like, that this is basically not all men. Yeah. And thank you for that. But I got to go to a break. And when I come back from the break, I want to engage both you and Kyle Stubbs about curating and creating experiences, you through drumming, storytelling, and spoken word, right? And cultural presentation, and Kyle through food and wine, and how both of you sort of come from your separate worlds and join up in the Junkanoo world. So I hope you can stay with us. And to my listening audience, please stay tuned. We will be right back after this break.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The 1, 2, 4, 2. The count depends on you. So tell Tita, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green on this Culture Friday with my guests in studio, Mr. Kyle Stubbs, and in the Zoom room, Mr. Ian Mora. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having us, Erin.
Ian, you're back.
Yeah, morning again.
All right.
And on mute again.
Absolutely. Now, I got this text here. And look here, the text says, I never heard Bob Marley promote being Jamaican. Never. That is because he understood the problem with ethnic divide and colonialism. We are Africans. Read, please.
I guess that's for me, right?
Well, I think it's a part for you and part for me. It ain't for Kyle. Kyle, stay out of this.
I know.
First of all, that's very true. As Rastafari, we focus on the fact that we are Africans, but African is my identity. That doesn't mean that Bahamian is not a part of my experience. That doesn't mean that being Bahamian is of no value at all. You know, because even within Africa, there is the Nigerian, there's the Ethiopian, and each with their own culture. Being Bahamian is not just something that's on a piece of paper. And this is why National Reparations Committee actually want to reconnect people, because we don't see the value in our Bahamian-ness. There is some value in that. The cultural experience. Me as a Bahamian Rastafari, I went to a conference a few years ago. As a matter of fact, and bear with me, I went to the University of the West Indies. And when I returned home, my mother commented, "Oh, you change how you talk, you know." And that's a common thing about Bahamians who go off to school. You change how you talk. But yet I didn't recognize it. Mm-hmm. Years later, I went to some conferences, but at that time I had a sense of pride in articulating these ideas as a Bahamian. Only Bahamians speak as Bahamians, and that brings value. My whole cultural heritage, the Junkanoo. As a Bahamian, right now, we have our Christopher Davis, who's working towards on a project that's called the International Junkanoo Conference or something like that, where they're connecting the Junkanoo festivals from all around the world and tying it to the root place, mm-hmm. which is in Ghana. Mm-hmm. And so we mustn't get caught up and use these ideas as a schism. Remember, Bob Marley never focused so much on his message on being Jamaican, but he did have a message of unity. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that comes in is when we allow ego to step into to our national purview and start to feel like, oh, because I am Bahamian, I am better than someone else. No, it's not that I'm better than someone else. I am just as good as anyone else.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, I have something to offer. My Bahamianness, my growing up in an archipelago, my experience in Junkanoo, my experience with my family, with my community, all of those have poured into me to make me who I am and be able to make a contribution to the world.
Absolutely. Ian, I got to bring Kyle into the conversation, right? I just wanted to say, you're so right. It is a part of our identity. Bahamian doesn't have to be the major part of our identity if we don't want it to be, but it doesn't have to be divisive either. And in curating as a tourism space, as a group of people who invite others into our country, curating and creating experiences for Bahamians and guests alike, we don't have to focus on nationality amongst Africans as a divisive thing. it could be a beautiful thing to grow an experience.
Yeah, and I just love the word that we're using now. We're honing on experiences, right? So we speak about not diving in on the Jamaican aspect, but he spoke of unity, right? Uh-huh. Experiences brought us to a spot where he needed to speak of unity. It's the same thing when we create these cultural spaces or we curate these things. It's how do I bring who I am as a Bahamian through experience, what I experienced before. So when I talk about simplified, you know, wine and charcuterie boards, we speak about my charcuterie board has to talk about my younghood as an experience, which is eating sugar apples, right? So there's not regular apples on my charcuterie board. There's sugar apples, right? There's dilly. And along with that is the story of me as a Bahamian and experiences that brought me to appreciate, understand, and now want to share my sugar apple story, my dilly story, my sea grape story, and so on and so forth. So I liked how Ian kind of brought us into that word experiences, because that's what helped us to tell who we are. And also in an experience, we allow guests, customers, locals to walk away with something to appreciate a little bit more.
Absolutely. Now, Ian, you are a member of Ubuntu, local drumming and storytelling group, right? A musical cultural experience. I don't even know if I could call you all a band, because you guys are a cultural experience, right? When I thought about the conversation today, in the same way that Kyle uses food and wine to create experiences, your group uses drumming and spoken word to tell stories and to create an experience or an environment for others to have experiences in, right? And so that's how I brought you in. Well, that's for me. That's how I see you in this conversation. How do you guys infuse, Kyle, your expertise and passion for food and wine, and Ian, your expertise and passion for culture and drumming and storytelling, how do you guys infuse that into your junkanoo activities? Because I know you both are avid junkanooers.
I don't know if Ian want to jump in on that first, Ian, but sorry. The infusion comes with either it being a junkanoo-centered event or an event where culture is infused to that event, so it accents whatever the situation is. And I, you know, just on the notes that we had discussed before, is, you know, our history as a rum drinking, right? So we can have a rum-centered event, or we can have a cultural event, you know, like the Bahamas Junkanoo Music and Wine Festival. That's a junkanoo-centered event that's accented with some other components.
Oh, no, it's a junkanoo music and wine festival.
No.
So junkanoo festival infusing music and wine. Oh,
absolutely. So you bring, you know, so an opportunity for junkanoo is to sell costumes, right?
Right.
And an opportunity for artists to display, you know, their creative sides. An opportunity for pop-up vendors to show their creativeness. And then we bring an alcohol component to it. So it isn't, we appreciate our rum drinking history, but that event is centered around this cultural experience. And so we accent it with certain things. Now there might be occasions where we have weddings and so on and so forth, and we infuse some junkanoo, some other cultural component into that. But is it a cultural centered event that's accented with some other things, or is it another style of an event that's accented with
right.
cultural experiences?
So, for instance, we have Festival Rum Bahamas that I participated in several years, and it is rum centered. And history, rum-centered, right? And from there, the history of rum, the history of rum and food, the history of rum and tobacco. And then we bring in the element of junkanoo, and we bring in the element of rake and scrape, and we bring in this element to that rum-centered event. And then we have the Wine and Art Festival. And with that one, I can be honest, I don't know which one is more important, right? Like it's I think it's a perfect balance of a pairing of wine and art, right? And then we got Bear Fest, which is just, I ain't never been to no Bear Fest. I can be honest. I don't know what y'all is do there.
Well, the people say today is Bear Fest. But
pardon?
That's a different story. I said the people say today is Bear Fest.
Because we celebrating Stevie.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But again, it's, what aspect of our culture is the center of this event or this festival, and right. how do we flesh that out with some supporting acts kind of thing? And once we are genuine in what it is that we're doing, I think things fall into place. You know, I can't talk enough about the Junkanoo Festival. Last February, before lockdown, it was just awesome. You know, yeah. just to see Junkanoo is who I grew up with. I haven't been out of the country for 15 years and come back and seeing folks selling costumes for $1,500. You know, that's it's centered. It's genuine. It was well thought out. And, you know, what came back in the end was just awesome.
So listen, for $1,500, I could get me a Transformer suit. See, I need a suit that I could go from Junkanoo to Carnival to church. I needed to be able to transform and flip and fold. And so that nobody will know that I made the transition.
We're so colorful and creative, Aaron. I'm certain we got somebody who could do that for you.
Boy, y'all better copyright me. Copyright me. I got a couple of texts here. But Ian, we didn't get to you. Ubuntu.
Yeah, no problem. So Ubuntu is actually a African concept. And it simply means I am because we are. There is no you without me. And this is our focus, you know, of focusing on who we are as a people. What is that? What are the things that we do, and how can we monetize them? Mm-hmm. Over time, there has been a disconnect between capital and culture, a major disconnect.
Yep.
What Junkanoo brings to the table is the level of excellence that happens at Junkanoo. Forces or forged a reconnection between capital and culture. So we look at that from an ideological point, and we say, as Ubuntu, how can we do this in other areas? And so this is where the poetry comes in. This is where the storytelling comes in. So we're not trying to do what others are doing. We're trying to bring something new to the table, which is our own creation. And then we collaborate with others who are trying to do the very same thing, because there's no limit on culture. There's no limit on it. There's no limit on cultural expressions, as we're seeing happening with Junkanoo, with the festivals. And we have to recognize people like Angelique McKay, who fought to make that festival a reality, and the people that supported her. It will not be easy. It will not be easy, but to an extent, we have to realize that excellence always trumps prejudice and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we try to get ourselves to the next level, we have to think in terms of what is this excellence? What is excellence for me as a drummer? Mm-hmm. Is it to beat the same rhythm that everybody else who's trying to monetize drum beating? Or is it for me to find my own rhythm, my own style, where I can combine what they do with what I've learned from what other people do? And so there's this connect and this continuum that Ubuntu represents. And this is why we try to have our own activities. One of the things that we offer, and it's free of charge. It's free of charge, totally free. Outside of COVID, is a drum circle, where we invite people to come out onto the beach. We create a big bonfire, and we bring drums. But if you're not a drummer, you don't have to worry. You could come out with a spoon and a glass bottle, and
or a 5-gallon bottle drum, a 5-gallon bottle.
By whatever you have, you can bring. If you're a dancer, you could come out there, and we've had dancers come out there before. If we've had fire dancers come out there before. We've had so many people that come out and share in these experiences. It reminds me of, and a lot of people don't know about this, but in the Big Pond area, it used to be called Counter Buddha. And at Counter Buddha, it was like a cultural center. Where people used to go, and they used to have ring play, and they would be drumming, and they would be dancing and singing. This is like with no electricity, no anything. Nowadays, our imaginations have been captured by technology and all of these other things, and they do help.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we don't have access to them, we feel limited. We figure we need these things in order to express our culture.
And we limit our own creativity. Ian, I got to stop you there. I say to my producer, if that person calls back, let's capture them, see if we could get them for 3 seconds. Ian, I got a bunch of texts for you guys, so I want to get to the text. And then I get the question with activities that involve heavily wine, the question of social responsibility, and the possibilities that come from that focus on social responsibility. So I see the call back, Arlington. Let's get to that caller dead quick. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you. How you do?
Okay. Good morning to your guest.
Morning.
Morning, Ian.
Morning, morning.
You saying, man, the space.
Yes, who?
Space, man. Mikey Dredd. Remember Mikey Dredd?
Oh, yeah, man. Respect, brother.
Sorry, you can forget space, but guess what, Ian? I want you to put your hand on an instrument they just spell, you know. It's a percussive instrument. I don't rub it down. It's more than anything. My man, rubs it. Anything else he got inside is magic. I say, boy.
Now, listen, gentlemen, y'all can't be having this private conversation on my show. What's the name of the instrument, please?
It's already called a Rob Zither.
Rob Zither.
Zither, yes.
Rob Zither.
Yeah, man. And the song, hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
I think it'd be given one little Facebook. I mean, not Facebook, but my WhatsApp number. I could send you the song with the song. They're talking about off the chain.
Give
no
the number.
No kind of manipulation, no studio sound, just natural sound out of it.
Thank you. Give the number to the producer, please. I gotta go, but look here. I'm so happy I answered your call. There's Rob Zither and the Contra Buddha. Ian, I was getting ready to cut you off, and then you tell us about this event that us young people don't really, well, us bougie people who grew up in the suburbs, don't know about. This is awesome. But I gotta get to these texts. Another text, morning, Aaron. We just won the whole Olympics. What you talking about? What am I talking about? See, listen, we sent Stevie and Shawnee to win that Olympics, and look at Kyle and Ian on the ground in New Providence winning this social responsibility and building the country Olympics in a different way. So thank you. And I think we have officially won the Olympics with the number of medals we've gotten so far. Another text. Now, this text, I'm going to read it. The texter says, it's not me. Hi, I don't like white people. They are the reason why black people are at the bottom of the totem pole. So let me put this here. White is a construct. White is race, and that's a construct. European descent, that's your ancestry. So we can talk about white systems, white supremacy, right? That's slightly different from talking about people of European descent. And let's make that distinction. We're not beating up on people. We are severely interrogating systems. Mm-hmm. Okay, another text. When is the festival your guest spoke of, please? How can one be a part of the event? This is the first I've heard of it. I imagine it's the first that plenty of people heard of the Junkanoo Festival.
The Junkanoo Festival was last February, and I'm certain, Angelique, as soon as we get a handle on COVID, her and her team, I'm certain, are eager to put on another one of those.
Right. Was that the first annual or the
yes.
second annual? The first annual Junkanoo Festival, February 2020, right before the lockdowns and the shutdowns began at the Adastra Gardens, right?
Indeed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you guys need to promo it from all the images you have, all the media from the last event to prepare people for it. We build a culture of appreciation for the work that it is that you are doing. Another text, Bahamians ain't entitled to no reparations. Africans are. I agree with the Bob texter. Break the mindset, not learn to live with it. To have unity, we must remove the divides. The greatest divide in this country is Haitian versus Bahamians. A divide that will only end when we end our acceptance of falseness. Dear texter, I sort of agree with you. We need to be able to see certain things for what they are. We need to see the difference between ancestry and political identity. In this, you're right, like in the same way, the thing I was talking about before, you need to see the difference between ancestry and another type of political identity, which is race. Both nationalism and race are constructs, they're political identities, but they exist, and we are forced to navigate the world through those constructs. So let's keep having these conversations where we're forced to make the distinction between our true identity, which is your ancestry, and your political identities, which are constructs and change on a daily basis. Anyway.
Let me just add that this is, I heard that the commenter or the responder saying that Bahamians aren't entitled. Well, see, this is why the National Reparations Committee is so focused on facilitating the discussions, you know, and I hope that individual and so many other individuals come in and share their perspectives when we're having these events, because we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We have to begin to talk about it and not discourage anybody's idea. Those who agree and those who oppose, because even somebody who opposes can offer perspective that helps you to get towards the goal. And so this is what reparations is about. It's about healing. It's not about hating anyone. It's about holding people accountable for what was done and what we still suffer from the legacy of today, but not with the idea of revenge, but with the idea of attaining excellence.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Ian. And what a wonderful way to close out the show. Kyle.
Yeah, I just want to, Ian, that was a powerful listening to you this morning. But I just want to encourage folks to, in whichever way you are, to embrace us as a people, enjoy our culture, and do it in a responsible way.
Absolutely. We didn't get to talk about responsibility with alcohol. Boy, I got a whole 2.5-hour show. On drinking and driving, and the money, the opportunities to be made by providing solutions to this pernicious problem that we have. But forget all of those fancy words. Today is Stevie Gardner and Sean A. Miller National Holiday Day. Amen. So Arlington, please play that song for me one more time to close out the show. I got to let Levon Miller in, because he unleashed, just like these Bahamian Olympic athletes, unleash the power from the tower. The conch and the click, and don't forget the pineapple too. Man, Stevie Gardner is running like crabs is chasing him. And Shawnee was running like she let the crabs out the pen, and how are we going to catch her? Anyway, you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you, producer. Stay tuned to Guardian 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day.
I don't go in water, I just go to boat fight with somebody daughter. I like to go diving, I love it, love it, love it. Yeah, yeah. Fuck, you should know, I'm over here.